All right, 10 minutes past 8. Good morning to you. Ifeyemi Andrew is my name. Let's get into our conversation for today. As you would have known, the minister designates will be sworn in today, and after then, we officially can call them ministers. At the moment, they are ministers designated. They had graduated from minister nominees. And many are expecting quite a lot. And some people not really surprised with the names that appeared and how the whole screening exercise went was also something that got a few people talking, especially the fact that these nominations, when they came, had no portfolios attached to it, and many questioned what then would the assembly be screening. Well, if you fast forward to now, portfolios have been given to those nominees, and we have quite a number of them, and few of them that would be of concern to many people. I mean, if you look at Labour, for the Ministry of Labour, you look at Health, where we have a Minister of State as well, Health and Social Welfare. Another important area would be Labour and Employment. That's another ministry that has a lot. And there's also the Ministry of... the Ministry for Youth Sports had issues, especially with many people not agreeing with the age of the minister. I think there's been some changes now. So if you fast forward and look at some of those changes, earlier in the news today, we told you that the president had renamed the Ministry of Environment and Ecological Management as Federal Ministry of Environment. There were also questions about the Minister of Environment, Pate. I'll give you more details on that. And we also are aware that the Ministry of Marine and Blue Economy, some reassignment was done. The president also appointed Abubakar Momo as Niger Delta Minister and reassigned former Governor Oyetola to the Ministry of Marine and Blue Economy. Several of the changes that we've seen. There was also the Federal Ministry of Youth to be reassigned to a minister designate soon. Names have not been given, but Bumi Tunji Ojo is the Minister of Interior, now is the Minister of Transportation, and both ministers of state in the oil and gas sector are now all domiciled in the Federal Ministry of Petroleum Resources. And we know Henikin Lokbobri was the Minister of State now for oil, petroleum resources, and then for gas, Ekperikpe Ekpo, Minister of State, petroleum resources, but for gas. While the Minister for Petroleum Resources himself, of course, President Tinubu. This morning, we are going to be speaking on the swearing in of these ministers' expectations when you look at the state of the nation. And my guest is a senior communications officer from Yaga Africa, Mark Amaza, be joining us from Abuja. Hello, Mark, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you for making our time to be part of the discussion. The minister designates will be sworn in today. A lot has been said from when the nominations came out until the screening, and now the portfolios came and we are going to have them sworn into office this morning. Before we go deep into the conversation, I generally want to get your view of this. So far, what you make of the names, the list, and people who are there as ministers, did square pegs fit square holes?
Well, it's a mixed bag. There are some of the minister designates where you can say that the square pegs fit the square holes. For example, you look at health, you look at finance, education, you look at innovation and digital economy. You can, of course, attorney general, which has to be a lawyer. You can confidently say that, yes, the square pegs fit the square holes. Water resources, too, to a large extent. However, in some of the portfolios, we have our head scratching, wondering what the rationale is. For example, with defense, where you have the two former governors who you put there, and especially the Minister of State, the former San Francisco governor, who under his in his tenure, banditry rose higher. You may make the argument that state governors do not really have a lot of latitude with security, since all the security agencies are federally owned, but in his own way, his own personal approach to security too was questionable in terms of trying to grant bandits amnesty, which backfired, and so on and so forth. But then you make a point earlier that it's really an aberration to keep nominating ministers without their internet portfolios. And it's a position we have also taken as an organization to criticize it, because how then do you really assess their competences for the role if you don't know what portfolios they'll be assigned to. It's just like you're going for a job interview. You know that you're going to get a job at the organization, but you don't know what position the organization are going to be given. Because every single time this has happened, we are left to be doing a guessing game of who goes where. I'm always left surprised in terms of who ends up going to certain ministries. For example, who will have thought like Festus Keyamo will head to aviation, considering the fact that he doesn't have any background in aviation, in the aviation industry. So these are kind of issues that always come up. And I think we shouldn't have to get to a point where we demand it to be mandatory. It should be common sense that when you're nominating ministers, a federal level nominating commissioners, if I say even diplomats, ambassadors, you should nominate their internet portfolios or the countries that they are posting, because that will then allow for a more thorough screening.
You highlighted something there of quite a huge interest, which would be the fact that it seems as though we have more politicians, more politicians or people with political leanings in the making up that list for minister designates, who would eventually, after a couple of hours from now, be called ministers. But what I want you to look at and address for us is, so when you look at the list, are you comfortable with how it's shared? Because many have talked about opposition being involved, and I think one that stands out would be the former governor of Rivers State of the PDP, who is a part of that list. Now, do you expect much from this crop of ministers, especially after highlighting the fact that some of these people have no experience in the ministries that they have been told to handle? And we have some very important ones that should be looked at. You already called out one of them, aviation, but we know that at the moment, when you look at the state of the nation, labor and employment is another important place. I know that Mrs. Nkiru is a lawyer. Whether there are certain other criteria that one needs to have before you head that ministry, people can make any arguments for it. But then when you go to education as well, the Ministry of Education, it brings you to another question. Yusuf Tanko Sununu is a politician, is an obstetrician and a gynecologist, and is in the Ministry of Education. Whether he has had any work or whatsoever with regards to education or building education is also a question. We know that we have problems in the oil and gas sector at the moment with the country's economy, which is also very sensitive. So when you look at the individuals who are handling this important ministries, don't forget health as well, would you say that we are on a path to seeing positive changes?
So, to the first point, it's not necessarily a bad thing that you have an opposition politician in the cabinet. Nyesom Wike by himself does not make PDP. So, I'm not sure this is one.
I think that question is misinterpreted. What I meant was, he seemed to be the only, if I'm not mistaken, the only opposition, major opposition party member in that list. So if it was something that perhaps the president looked at and said, we need to take people along who are capable, I'm sure that there are other opposition political parties that have credible individuals that could fit some of these roles.
Yeah, I agree with you. I completely agree with you. But then with politics, and again, uniquely Nigerian situation, this their own different parameters of how involved you are in the campaign, how they feel they need to reward will always come into play. However, it's a matter of expecting a lot from this cabinet. I think we should still expect a lot, not necessarily because we believe in their capacity to deliver, but because it's their duty to deliver. We think they're competent for the roles they are assigned to, we should still push them and have high expectations of them, so that the delivery that they need to make is not diminished. I agree with you that some of the portfolios are very weird, like how you add a politician and a medical doctor is being assigned to the Minister for Education. You have two layers in labor, and it cycles back to our initial point around that in lack of thorough screening because their portfolios were not assigned. If their portfolios were assigned from the beginning, then we cannot hold the Senate responsible and say you ought to have asked them better questions around this.
Which is also critical.
Yeah, which is very critical. We, the public, can also make judgments around their being fit and proper for those roles based on their competence.
If these people...
But in the absence of that... Yeah.
Sorry, Mr. Mark. If these gentlemen and women had no idea which ministry they would be headed, how then would they have prepared for the job that they are about to embark on? Because many would expect that if they had known, some of them would have, before coming for the screening, there would be a blueprint of what they want to do that they would have written down and explained how they are about to take that ministry to a different level and what they intend to do. But all of that did not happen, which would then mean that some of them did not even have a blueprint for the job that they are coming for. So with that in mind, should Nigerians be hopeful?
Well, I think it should make us slightly worried at the very least. And I think it also speaks to the question of how is this process of selecting this cabinet member, how does it take place? Does the president have a conversation with them around, I want you in this role, and then these are the kind of things I want you to go and achieve, or let's have define your key performance indicators? It doesn't seem like this happened. And you can even see from last night when there was that reshuffle, which makes even, which also speaks to was this done well thought out process where you know that I want this person, I want him in this role because I've seen what he or she can deliver. And all of these things are becoming too embedded in our political culture, and that's something that we need to really do away with and change. So that we're not left again back to fingers crossed and hoping that these folks know the right things to do, which, especially when they are being put in roles, in sectors they have never worked in. We have a situation where there are a couple of new ministries, so we don't even know what exactly these ministries are really intended to do and how can these people deliver. These questions are very, very important.
All right. Coordinating Minister of Health and Social Welfare, because some changes were made. Now, for health, we know the situation in the health sector at the moment. We know the strikes that we are currently facing. We're also aware of the protests for labor and the rest of them. Some of these people were former governors. For instance, Simon Lalong. I know Simon Lalong, former governor of Plateau State, he is the minister for labor and employment. And if you are to judge by their performances while at the state level, people will begin to look at the issues we're facing and whether or not these people can handle these issues and move the country forward, especially in those areas, will begin to come into question. But most importantly, would be those people who had certain petitions against them and cases to answer. I mean, during the screening, we all saw and we heard several cases, Elrufai's and even the case situation with Keyamo and the rest of them. The fact that these gentlemen still made it onto the list, what should we take out of it?
Well, I think... It's still again switch back to the question of what is the process. We have a very undefined or opaque process by which our president, not just the current president, but also previous ones, select those who they want to work with. It's very opaque. They have their own subjective way of selecting their cabinet members. The problem is not necessarily the fact that former governors or senators or even incoming legislators are on that cabinet. It's the fact that in previous roles they have handled, they have not been particularly stellar. So you will now have a situation where if a former governor who had excessive powers puts up a subpar performance.
And Mr. Mark, sorry to interrupt you. Just hold your thoughts there. Let's go for this commercial. When we come back, we continue from here.
All right.
The show continues after this break on Nigeria Info.
All right, conversation continues here on the Morning Crossfire. My guest still is Mark Amaza, Senior Communications Officer, Yaga Africa. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. We're looking at State of the Nation and the new minister's swearing in, which would be taking place today. And before we went on that break, the question was around some of the minister designates who had certain issues during their screening because of petitions that were brought up on security for Elrufai and one other person that was also in the midst of that was Keyamo. And then we also had one of the nominees whose documents was very questionable. And the senator from Rivers State was pointed out that particular situation. And that's Orwell Onye, so to be precise. And we didn't see all of these things resolved, but eventually, somehow, a list with portfolios have been released and these ministers will be sworn in today. And the question is, where does that leave us? What should we think? Mr. Mark, thank you for staying on the line.
You're welcome.
All right, so quickly, before we get on to some of the comments on social media and phone lines, by the way, we're streaming live on Facebook, so wherever you are, you can join in on the conversation. It is Nigeria Info 92.3 PH on Facebook. On X, it is Nigeria Info PH. The WhatsApp number is 0809-030-6416. With the new ministers, are you expecting new changes in the various sectors? I highlighted a few of them that are quite very important at the moment and at the forefront. Labor, Ministry for Labor and Employment is one. Ministry for Health is another one. Ministry for Education is another one. I mean, we're aware of the situation with strikes, ASU, etc., etc. There's still one more I think I'm leaving out that's also quite... Aviation, we know what the Forex situation is like, and then oil and gas. These sectors, quite important, not to say others aren't, but we know what these sectors mean to us at the moment with the issues that they are facing. So, Mr. Mark, the petitions and some of the questionable characters that we saw during the screening, but eventually they still are on the list. Where does that leave us?
Well, like you said, it really leaves us mind-boggling regarding what the purpose of the screening is. If questions are raised and not resolved, and yet still the nominees go through. In Governor Rufai's case, for example, we don't know what the nature of the petitions. We don't know what it contains. Things are not made public. But the question is, even as he has reportedly withdrawn from his nomination, what then are the security agencies going to act on those petitions? He's no longer covered by immunity. This is assuming that they are security or criminal-related petitions. In some other cases, I think our Senate needs to understand that when it comes to these screenings, it's not just to be routine. It's to be as thorough as possible. It's to be, you're basically interviewing them for a job. It looks like the Senate was more miffed by when the minister designate had either said something that offended them in a personal capacity or tweeted something that they found in their own judgment to be unpatriotic, than around the competence of these ministers. If a minister designate doesn't have his ducks in a row regarding his document, it shouldn't be senators are supposed to be screening him, to defending him without him rectifying that situation. So we need to be more thorough.
Would you call for these things to be made public? Like the RFI situation, I was just saying, we don't know whether all of these issues have been resolved or not. We know that Festus Keamo is here. RFI, yes, is not on the list, but we know that the ministers are not complete. Whether or not these people might eventually still end up being on the list. But the fact that these things were raised publicly, and then would you say that the resolutions should also be made public and Nigerians see how the House arrived at making the decisions that they would make?
Yeah, I do agree. I think those things, the resolutions should be made public. You've already raised the petitions publicly. Like I said, we don't know the niche. We don't know what is contained in petitions against RFI, for example. But then when you now do not do these things, it just leaves too much room for speculation. It just leaves too much room for speculation. If you have come out to say these are the things that have been raised against the nominee, it shouldn't just be brushed under the carpet and ended because he no longer is going to be a minister. What are the petitions? So what's the action taken from then on? Moving forward is very, very important. For all of those which were questions raised, it's really important, for full accountability and transparency, that those resolutions are also made known to the public.
There were talks about protest around choice for Minister of Sports. youth in sports at the time. I think there's been changes now. Whether those changes were as a result of that displeasure that was expressed by some young people, I'm talking about John Onwaino, who was about, I think, around 57, close to 60 years of age at the time. And many were uncomfortable with that, which brings us to even the representation in the sense of the youthful representation in the minister minister designates that we have coming in. Some people think that all of these signs and even the last minute reshuffling is a pointer to the fact that the current administration isn't well prepared and still is guessing around with its work. Do you share the same opinion?
I do share that opinion, but just a point of correction, John Eno is not the minister.
Yeah, I said adjustments have been made. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
but then they were.
Well, yes, he was. So you know that the Ministry of Youth and Sports has already split into two ministries.
Yes.
And the Youth Ministry currently doesn't have any minister designate. But regarding, in terms of the preparedness, yes, I have serious doubts about that, because we keep seeing minister nominations being withdrawn on the days of the screening for the nominee, last minute reshuffling because a ministry didn't have a minister, and all of those kinds of issues are all things that just points to make you wonder. The president had at least 60 days from swearing in and 3 months before being sworn in, and yet we are still back at this, you know, we are still at this juncture, which I feel like all this time should have given him is enough to be able to know precisely who goes where. I know there will always be lobbying and last minute thinking and rejigging, but it should not be when you're already putting out list. Ministers, after you've gone through screening and you've seen the portfolios, you're still trying to figure out who you place where.
For the Ministry of Youth and Sports, I'll still come back to this. The fact that, I don't know, we see what happens with the NFF. Recently, we had the Super Falcons play at the Female World Cup. And on Twitter, it was something, I beg your pardon, on X, it was something else where we had we had the protests from the players of the Super Eagles and money's been owed to these girls and all of that. Many have said over the years that we need to adjust, perhaps look at the age bracket for people who come into this field, and it should be people who have been in the field or who are in the field man these positions. For instance, the minister designate John Onwaino for sports is a politician, a farmer and philanthropist, and that would get people to say, shouldn't we have at least sportsmen and women in the Ministry of Sports heading those ministries? Because they've been part of the system and actually engaged in sports?
So I agree with you that, yes, the age is really important. We need to have, it would be really good to see a young person as youth minister of youth. But beyond just being young, somebody who is capable, who is competent, same for sports, need someone who has experience dealing with around sports development, sports policy, youth development policy for the Ministry of Youth. And we're not lacking in such people. We have continually treated these ministries as compensatory ministries, where you just give a politician as a way of compensating them for their contributions to your campaign or keeping them close within your orbit. And that has to change, because every ministry deals with sectoral issues, with real life issues, and they have their importance. So that attitude, and we do the same thing with the Ministry of Women Affairs, where we just give it to a woman politician. Gratefully, we haven't had a man run that office, gratefully. So, but then, is a woman, does she understand the issues that women face, that she needs to deal with, that she needs to look prioritized in her as, you know, running that ministry? These are very, very important issues, not just to have a politician and just being put there just in the stand as a way of like saying thank you, job well done for helping you win the elections.
All right, let's open the phone lines and take some comments on WhatsApp and on Facebook. Your expectations from the minister designates, they will be sworn in today and be called ministers officially. Are your expectations high? Are they low? What do you think when you look at the individuals who are in the various ministries? I know you highlighted the fact that Keamo is Minister for Aviation, and many people have also brought up the conversations around having technocrats and professionals in some of these very important and sensitive ministries that would require those sort of expertise as against having politicians. Do you think that is something that should be looked at? We'll come to that and get your response. But let's first start off with the phone lines. 0817-923-0007. 0817-923-0007. You can also call 0817-923-0003. Those are the numbers to call. I'll be taking some of the messages on Facebook first. Remember, it is Nigeria Info 92.3 PH on Facebook, so join the conversation. And Nehe Shuaibu says, I expect new changes, especially from the former governor, Rivers State, and minister of the FCT. He will work and he will do better than El Rufai in cleaning Abuja and its environs. Also, he is the first to become FCT minister from the south, so he should write his name in gold. Mohaji Henry says, good morning, gentlemen. The ministers are supposed to make a difference, but Nigerian factor will not allow them. Tamono Itekena Dagogo says, I think we should start campaigning for an amendment in the constitution or a bill that defines confirmation process, that nominees would be nominated with portfolios and the nominees without portfolios, and the nominees would be screened by the committee responsible for that ministry being okay. You are saying the bill should say that nominees should be nominated with portfolios and be screened by Senate committee or committees responsible for that ministry before being advanced to the main Senate for a simple vote. This would make the ministers set their target and give us a blueprint even before they are confirmed. All right, we'll go to the phone lines. Tell us your name, where you're calling from, and then we go straight to the point. The numbers again are 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0007. Jones Peace on Facebook says, President Tinubu submitted these names at the National Assembly as ministerial nominees without assigning portfolios that would have made the Assembly screen them accordingly. They were screened as individuals, not based on the office they should be occupying. I stand to be corrected, though, so I don't think there would be so much changes unless they would learn the nitty-gritties while on the job. Now, that's something that many have also suggested, learning on the job. But does the Assembly not have the powers to have said to the President, we are not screening these people without portfolios attached? Isn't that something you think the Assembly could have done?
So I guess that question is to me, right?
Yes.
Yes, they are. They have that. It's within their powers. While the Constitution mandates them to screen ministers designate, it doesn't define the criteria for nomination. So the Senate have the power to say, we are not going to screen these nominees unless you attach portfolios. I agree with the person who said we need to amend the Constitution to make it mandatory to attach portfolios. But I'm also saddened that we have to force it. It's the same way we had to make it mandatory that you have to nominate, have a cabinet nominated within the first 60 days. Because you ought to know that there's so much that rests on having a cabinet. It took President Obasanjo just 6 days to nominate a cabinet in 1999. 6 days. And that was switching from a military rule to democracy. We should have regressed from that period where we have, you know, President Tinubu on the eve of the 60 days expiring, just still within the constitutional limits, nominated a cabinet. It shouldn't be so, you know. So it should also be so that we have to force them to nominate ministers with portfolios. It should be common sense. But yes, the Senate also has, we should not also excuse the Senate's laxity in allowing this to pass through. They have that power to say, we are not going to nominate these ministers until you send them with portfolios.
Mm. Let's go to Victor in Owerri. Victor, good morning. All right, we lost the call from Victor. Letambari is in Bori. Letambari, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jimmy.
All right, straight to the point. Are you expecting much from the new Senate ministers?
Well, it is announced, it is denounced that they will normally swear in ministers' technicians, And any minister that is appointed without a portfolio, I think it looks as if we don't have a direction. Because in the recent, you're supposed to be playing with the portfolio attached to your office. And when this is not done, the Senate too lacks the very area of question to ask you. Because it would be like a normal general question. Can you recite the national anthem? All those kind of things. Is it what we are supposed to hear? As a technocrat, they are supposed to interview you based on your fields, your educational fields. But this one, it is not like that. So I am still surprised. If the ministers will still have what it takes to give us what we want, because now you don't own, you are not giving an office according to what you practice, then what? That is why they will begin to dazzle from one place to the other. But however, I wouldn't like to pray a negative prayer to this country, because we have been dazzled into a pit that we need people who have the wealth of experience to elevate and raise up from.
All right, later, Barry, let's move on to Braid in Borokri now. Braid, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Ethan.
Welcome, Braid.
For me, there is a square peg on a round hole. And if you look at what is going on with this administration, I doubt if the ministers that have been appointed will be up and doing. Yeah, the president selects his political training and not technocrats. In a country like Nigeria today, as in where we are going right now, we need a technocrat to handle the country. And you will agree with me that most of them, even at their various states, they were not doing well. And let me cite this as an example. The IG that were appointed was is a ADC when he is a governor. Is that how we are supposed to handle the issue of the country? Because this man has helped you. You brought him to River City, deliver your what you want, and you make him an IG. That is not the kind of Nigeria we are looking at. If this man is from Party B, you know that this man is a technocrat. He can handle the affairs. Bring him on board. What we need is results-oriented ministers that the country needs at this point in time.
All right, Braid, thank you. Temple is in Rukwaku. Let's get Temple now. Hello.
Good morning, the very distinguished Ifemi.
All right, Temple, good morning. Country. Very fantastic. What's your expectation? The new ministers
will
be sworn in today.
My expectations, my hopes are very high. Inasmuch as there is no school that someone can go to perform well as a minister. And Dr. Mrs. Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala and the late memory of late Professor Deon Akuele, those are very super ministers who perform credibly well. Deon, even as a director of NAF that perform credibly, I have not even seen some.
Sorry, Temple, I think you'd have to do all the call back. Ken is in Emoha. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, Shimi.
You're welcome.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning to you.
I don't have any expectation, or I don't expect anything good from this set of ministers. Because if you check, imagine when the president will submit the names of the ministers without attaching portfolios. That is to say that one should have been appointed or assigned with what he has the experience of. We are talking about screening. What did they screen these people? Is it based on their qualification or just as a politician? What we say that is the seed that they look into.
Mm.
So for me, I don't expect anything. Imagine somebody will go for a doctor. Then in appointment, they will give that person a duty of or a minister of works or every other thing. So that is the policy they are playing. I don't expect anything good from this set of ministers.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. Let me quickly make a correction from, I think Temple was saying something before we get on to Ken Amirio. If, in case you did not know, Mungozi Okonjo-Iweala, she's an economist. So she didn't learn how to become Minister of Finance there. And it's the reason why she's at the World, the WTO at the moment. She's an economist, all right? Expert economist and international development. So it's something that she's quite aware of. Dora, on the other hand, was also a pharmacist. Okay, she graduated. She studied pharmacy, and she also even went on to do pharmacology at the University of Nsukka, UNN, University of Nigeria in Nsukka. I beg your pardon. And she even went on to do ethnopharmacology. So it's and when you see the performances of these people in those positions that they were given, because perhaps it's something that they are familiar with, many would just say it gives you a sense of direction on what to do. Robin is in a chair. Good morning.
Good morning, my brother. It's Andrew.
Yes, go ahead.
I've said from the beginning, I, as Robin Manda, the farmer, I have no expectation, no hope. Where is the hope? Now, how old is Nigeria? Look at the crops of people that are dancing around the clock, holding Nigeria to ransom. From governor to senate, senate to minister, minister to this. Who are these people? They are all politicians recycling themselves to milk this country called Nigeria. At the time, the former governor of Rivers State, who is going to assume today as minister of FCT, was the governor of Rivers State. Akpabio was minister of Niger Delta. What has happened to Eleme? Eleme Road. What happened there? What are we talking? People are clapping hands. Somebody's appointed there will clap hands. People are dying every day. How old is Nigeria that this group of people cannot think out of the box that Nigeria, the one of the only oil producing countries, do not have a functional refinery? And we have one running in Angola. We are here shouting minister. Minister to do what? They are there to earn salary and to make more money for themselves.
All right, Robin, we have to quickly move on to Muriel. Oh, goodness me, Muriel. I think you'd have to call back for whatever reason. Perhaps you got interrupted by the service providers. Mr. Mark, let's wrap this up here. I mean, you heard some of the callers, and most people aren't optimistic with regards to what the expectations are from the ministers, the new ministers. For you generally, I was citing examples of some of the past public office holders that we've had, especially for areas that require some level of professionalism and would require technocrats, some would say. Do you have general expectations, Yaga, personally, as yourself? Where are you looking at this from, and what do you expect?
Well, expectations are always the same. Hope that they really step up to the mantle and do the work that's expected of them. I can speak in aggregate of all of that. I understand where the callers are coming from regarding saying they don't have expectations of them because a lot of them are recycled. But I also see the fact that there are certain ministries that have technocrats, and we mentioned that earlier, so we do expect that those ones who do not, especially those ones who do not betray our trust in them or our hope in them. But regardless of whether we feel they merited it or not, whether they have been recycled or not, we should not lower the bar because of our expectations. And
right,
also, very importantly, you know, in the end, also a lot depends on the leadership, because there's only so much also a minister can do if doesn't give them that room
right
to do their best.
We're out of time. Thank you very much, Mr. Amaza, for joining us on the show today.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, that was the Senior Communications Officer, Yaga Africa, and quite a lot of messages we still have here. And let's see. This one says, if I could take a few of them quickly. Nobody was screened to be minister. We saw people who just went to the assembly to play, a situation where someone couldn't speak on his own education qualification. This is Mianye. You sent that message in. This person, Duka Kenneth, says the government of Tinubu and the APC are not only confused, they're a disappointment to Nigerians. In fact, no hope. That's all I can say. Okay, more messages, if I can. Okay, good morning. This one says, for me, majority of these ministers appointed by the president are just compensation for their dirty job.